Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 332 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week wraps up our coverage of the 37th Humana Festival of New American Plays, and we're going to talk with Will Eno, playwright of Gnit, and special guest appearance? I don't know. Wonderful welcome to Les Waters, artistic director of the Actors Theater of Louisville and director of Gnit, by the by. And we're going to get into those conversations just after these brief messages. If you love the Inexplicable Dumb Show as much as I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow. Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play,
in the gutter, of course. Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
Hi, IDSers. I am joined by Will Eno, playwright of Gnit. Hi, Will. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
So this is, to be fair to everybody that are that I'm, of course, have interviewed, it is the Sunday morning after the Saturday gala, so everybody's kind of, at least I am, kind of crusty-voiced, so bear with me. So how has the festival been going with you?
It's really been great. I've never been here. I've never worked at the Actors Theater and on the festival before, but I had a great, great, great month rehearsing and opening the show, and then I've been away for a couple weeks and just have come back down for this last weekend. And it's really just a very happy place to be, a good place to be.
So how has this, I guess from start to finish for you, how has this process of your particular play grown or altered or changed, maybe not in the writing so far, but the ideas for you as the artist?
It's probably clarified, and I know I made a ton of cuts and did a lot of writing in rehearsal, I've tended to do that, and you just do that in working on a new play where you suddenly hear it, and you've got great actors, so you realize you don't need as many words as you thought you did, but more than any other play I've worked on, being here at Actors Theater, there really was this deeply real sense all around that that all anyone was concerned about was getting the play into the best shape it could get into. There was no flack from the actors when I kept cutting things and changing things and taking stuff out and putting stuff back in, and so that was a very pretty good calm feeling the month leading up.
So talk about that process you had when you came in. What, start of January and sort of started
middle of February, February 16th, I think, something like that.
And you were in the room and rehearsing and noting and making changes in...
Pretty much, and I thought it was going to... I kept saying to everyone, I'm sorry, I'm going to have this all set in a week, and then you guys can just work on memorizing it. And I really kept changing stuff right into the first couple performances. And that's mainly... that's mainly a credit to the actors and Les Waters, the director's patience, and minorly a credit to my own anxiety and sort of fussiness about things. Or something
did
like
they finally reach a point like, okay?
Pretty much. I just saw it again yesterday, and you know, I'm slow, and there's some things I want to think about, but. I was very, very happy, and I think I did cut 3,000 words from the beginning of rehearsal to what is there now is a lot lighter, and I knew it would be, but yeah.
So what do you go from here for this? Is it other? Obviously, you want to get other productions, but I mean, do you go back to a rewriting phase?
Somehow that word phase seemed like too heavy and serious a thing.
I know. No, it's early. It's Sunday morning.
No, I don't mean, I just, I know there's some things I want to, look at and certainly I tend to just keep writing a thing, until I just plain can't or don't want to anymore. And there's someone said something about, and I always found it slightly pretentious sounding somehow, but I really do think it's true when people talk about poems, and I forget who said this, but they say poems aren't finished, they're abandoned. And that sort of, I sort of understand that they're as I think a certain kind of writer, just you do keep returning to a thing and keep trying, there's some vague thing that you're really trying to make very clear. But so I'm definitely going to be messing around with it. Sure.
Cool. So how would you, or do you have a routine as far as your writing process? Do you have like a early in the morning or late in the evening or?
I think naturally and constitutionally, I'm probably a late night writer, if that means anything. But then I do get up early in the morning. So, I would love to have more of a schedule, but I don't really have a schedule.
Well, yeah, some people do. Some people are like, I've got to write 25 pages by 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, or whatever. And it's just fascinating to see because when you mentioned about the process of not really ever sort of giving up on us, not giving up, that's the wrong phrase, but reaching a point where you're like, okay, that's it. Other than being, I can't look at these characters anymore. Yeah. So it's interesting to see how the development continues. So what has been the biggest challenge for you through this process? Pre-Humana and through this, has there been anything that's been a surprise or a challenge?
Not to be honest, not that, that,
in a good way, of course.
Yeah. Well, just as a credit to all of us, everything is kind of kind of challenging, and we all have it's challenging to be a human being. there's in trying to get a thing ready, there's probably you have a very real conversation both with yourself and with people you're working with. Which has to do with some balance between the irrational but deeply, deeply meaningful things that you don't yourself quite understand that you have in a play,
mm-hmm.
and the very down to earth considerations of an audience and a story and a narrative, and I think you have to listen to both of those parts of the conversation, both in yourself. Because you have that conversation with yourself and in speaking to people. I had some great help from Les Waters and Amy here at the who acted as kind of a dramaturg. So that's just it's a funny, it's sort of a potentially vulnerable place to be, where you're wondering, I don't want to just hang on to something because I wrote it.
Right.
You know, right. But then also you don't want to give up that stuff that is just strange and true, and you really, really have a strong feeling. It's a meaningful part of this experience, of the play.
So what is the, when you sit in the house and you're watching the play, what is going on for you? I mean, are you, I bring this up because I've done some running, not a lot, but just little 10-minute festivals and stuff around, and I get so self-conscious when it's, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm on stage and I could do, when I act, I could do whatever, and I don't, it's a whole other world.
Right.
But if something about it being the world that, it's your world.
Yeah.
Since you created it, that I've become, for some reason, for me, I'm very like, I mean, I don't care necessarily, you know, I just feel, it's not about whether people like it or not, per se, but it's right. just, it just seems very vulnerable at that stage for me, anyway. Yeah.
And does it, can I ask you, does it, because I definitely share that with you. And then it's also, there's some strange, it's very, does it feel very separate too? Or there's like a totally alien, alien
thing? Yeah, it's a little, because I do come primarily from an acting background. So to not be able to do that in something is a little strange.
Yeah.
To kind of go here.
Yeah, right.
You know, talk about trusting your own kind of inner voice, and then allowing for changes and stuff like that. And you know, again, it was a big surprise to me to sit there and watch something that, you know, it's very educational, of course, to sit there and think, okay, again, I'm fledgling writer, but I sit there and go, okay, I thought that idea was really clear. And it turns out that it's muddled. Yeah. You know, it's a little strange sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I had a one piece, I don't know, it's all about me now.
Yeah.
Sorry. But I did a piece, and a guy made a choice about everything he made a choice by flipping a coin.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, you know, through this course of whatever. And people came out after the reading and were like, was he God? I'm like, no.
Hmm.
He's just a guy flipping a coin to make a major decision in life.
Yeah,
that's it.
Well, see, that, I mean, you could take that as a problem that your idea was unclear, or that you did something very simple and elemental that allowed people to draw sorts of conclusions. And I don't know if people were frustrated and angry when they looked at you and said, "Was he God?"
No, they were. They were just.
So that's good. Just... That's an achievement, I think. That's good.
I kind of intentionally sort of did that, but yeah, I mean, it was really kind of. Like, no, I hadn't thought of that. So were there moments through this for you, to get back to you, since it's, that you had those sort of, well, I mean, from audience responses?
See, I mean, like yourself, I sit there on the one hand, it's, you're very self-conscious and you're aware that this is that you're responsible for some part of this thing, and then also it is very it feels very exterior sometimes and very alien, you say something else again, because I had a thought and then I just lost it. I don't know, it's very gratifying. There's a couple of moments I do remember just feeling very gratified in this thing, that there was a sort of complicated idea that just, it was nothing masterful or overly intellectual or anything like that at the writing end, but it just did require that you pay attention to a simple thing rather than get distracted by a complicated thing. And there's a laugh that would come that indicated that people had been tracking this one thing, and it was my buddy. Danny Wolahan, who I've known for a bunch of years and who's a close friend, who delivered the line, and it was very, very exciting. I didn't know whether people would track this particular thing, so that was a very, very gratifying thing of just, people actually did follow that thing.
Well, cool. But, well, like I said, I look forward to seeing it. I'm sorry that yours is the one that I haven't seen yet. So,
Well, there's no reason you should apologize for that. And I hope you enjoy it.
I think I will. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so I'm joined by Les Waters, Artistic Director of Actors Theater of Louisville and Curator of Humana Festival, New American Plays. Thank you for sitting down with me. How are you?
I'm good.
So, you know. How has this been, the maiden voyage, so to speak?
How has it been? It's been big. I mean, I know that's an idiotic thing to say, but it's such a huge undertaking. And it's remarkable that the institution operates so smoothly. I mean, I think lots of regional theaters will program in like one or two new plays during a season, and suddenly at the end of ours, there are six.
Right.
So the machine, I mean, that in the best sense, runs very smoothly. And the weekends, the industry weekends are big, big events.
Right. So how has, I mean, you have to put your own stamp on it, but did you feel any pressure of creating your own sort of vision versus matching, sort of not doing what everybody else did, but is there a sense of trying to keep a certain level or comparison? Does that make sense? Like through the curating of it? I mean, how much overall pressure on top of you about it being
Humana? There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure because it's been my first season and my first Humana, and because I'm known within the theater community. I mean, I've spent years and years and years directing and developing new and producing new work. So I did feel under the spotlight in a pretty big personal way. And there are obligations that are set up, you know, to kind of get a variety of voices out there, you know, some more established playwrights, some playwrights very new, and the forms change and the content of the plays change. So I felt under a lot of pressure.
Well, it came off smashingly. So
well, thank you.
I really enjoyed it. Again, thank you for your hospitality and everyone here at Actors Theatre of Louisville. So, unfortunately, I haven't seen it yet. That's what I'm going to see. But how has this process been, not only having to kind of select the mini season, if you will, but also then be part of the mini season? How many hats do you have to wear per day?
A lot. I mean, it's very difficult and very contradictory in the end to be directing one's own show in the season and be producing five others, which are all, you know, within about the space of 3 weeks, all of them are in rehearsal or tech or previews. You know, I'm blessed with having somebody like Meredith McDonough, who's our associate artistic director here, who's got great producing skills. Zan Sawyer Daly, who's been part of Actors Theatre for many years, having them around, a whole team of people around. But it's hard.
Yeah,
I mean, it's very hard to kind of focus on the project immediately in front of one and keep a track of how everything else is going.
I mean, and not only because you again the one that everything comes to, right?
Yeah,
not only just within the plays, but within the festival and everything else, right? Was there anything going, any sort of notion that you had going into the process that had sort of a 180 relevant to for you going previously preconceived going into then being in? Was there any sort of grand? Well, I'm sure there are a lot of grand sort of little aha moments, but going through that will shape and form for the next time.
I think that's difficult. Really,
I swear there was a question in there somewhere.
No. You know, I knew some of the things going into it this time. I mean, just the sheer complexity and load of the the festival. I knew it, but until you experience it,
right?
It's not in your body, really. Mm. I hope next year it'll be like, oh, I know what's going to happen. And it was interesting because the plays aren't chosen thematically.
Right.
You know, they're plays that come in and we have certain obligations, you know, like the sheer number of actors we can use. We have three spaces in operation and a project offsite that the plays have to fit different venues and you know, it's like other writers available during the festival time to work on it. But all of that's there, but there was no attempt to program thematically, and then actually people will say, well, this seems to be being played out in the festival, and I'm kind of quite interested in that.
Really?
What happens, you know, is that good? Should we try it more consciously? I think not, but what slowly appears when they're put into production and when people are seeing them. I mean, I'm very proud that the plays seem to be in dialogue with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's some conversation going on between the plays themselves and then out into the audience.
Ooh.
I don't think that's a real answer.
It wasn't really a real question. So, I'm assuming next year's already started. Are you already in the screening process? And
there are some ideas for some projects. The real heavy lifting of it will start, what are we now, beginning of April, towards the end of May, like late May, June, July, mm-hmm. into August. That's the period when the reading for the next Humana Festival starts. And that's a team of us. I never know the real figures. I mean, somebody said to me, I have to talk with two people today who said with complete authority it was 400, and then somebody said 700. Somewhere in there is the actual reading. I think I read like the 10% of them, the ones that rise to the top. And then we sit and talk and, you know, we have enthusiasms for ones and it's interesting, like, what sticks. Do you know what I mean? That some week you can be really enthusiastic about a play and 3 weeks later you can't really remember it. Says something. So it's on its way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not only that, but you have to, you have to kind of, again, tying back to the multi-hats.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You also have to find something that, for you as a director, that engages you. That you want to put on that hat and deal with everything else.
I think so. I mean, I have thought in years to come, maybe I won't direct anything in the festival. Maybe I'll just stick to the producing of it, which is complicated enough. I mean, that may be a good thing. I mean, it may be a good thing for my own mental health, but I don't know. You know, I've got experience in it, and I think people would expect me to do something. But I do need to find material that I personally am completely passionate about to take me through the festival.
Well, thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
Hey, actors. Want to set up a website that is not a Facebook account? Yeah. Use your name as your domain name. Check out DreamHost. It's easy to set up. And because you are a listener of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, you get a special treat. That's right. Go to www.dreamhost.com and enter this special code, IDS, all caps. You will receive 2 domain names with your web hosting package purchased from DreamHost. But only if you use the promo code IDS. And remember to use all caps on that. Just another way you get buzzed by the Inexplicable Dumb Show. Dumb, 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 dumb. also like to thank playwright Will Eno and artistic director of Actors Theatre Louisville, Les Waters, for stopping by and chatting with me today about kind of the experience of theater here at the 37th Humana Festival of New American Plays and the process of writing Gnit and all things involved there. So while I have this brief moment, again, this is our last episode for this year's Humana Festival, I again want to wholeheartedly give a big thanks to Les and Zan and Kirsty and everyone, Corey, everybody that was involved in this and making us as quote unquote press feel welcome and valued. So again, thanks to all involved at the Humana Festival about all the wonderful things that we were able to share over a very busy weekend. So here's to more and more, and I can't wait to see you guys next year. And here on The Dumb Show, who knows what's happening next week? It's kind of the way it rolls. So until next week, until our next grand adventure, hey, I'll see you. Bye. That's a detergent.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.